The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on krishnapath.org. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is the Genuine Vedic Way. A 24-page booklet. On January 11, 1970, an article appeared in the Los Angeles Times on the Krishna Consciousness Movement. What follows are excerpts from the article and the unusual correspondence that ensued between the two authorities, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Professor Stahl.
Excerpt from the Los Angeles Times article. Quote, Dr. J.F. Stahl, Professor of Philosophy and Near Eastern Languages at University of California, Berkeley, and an instructor of Indian philosophy, believes that the Krishna sect is an authentic Indian religion and that its adherents are sincere.
He attributes the society's rapid increase in members to the tendency of today's younger generation to reject organized churchgoing while at the same time searching for fulfillment of a belief in mysticism. He points out, however, that persons who turn away from Christianity, Mohammedanism, and Judaism have usually lost faith with the personal God of those religions and are looking for a mystical religion without absolutes. Quote, these people in the Krishna movement have turned to Hinduism, but curiously, it is a cult that is highly personalistic, Stahl said. Quote, they accept a personal God, Krishna, and Christianity has that. I feel that they have transferred some of their Christian background to a Hindu sect, end quote. He also feels that they spend too much time chanting to develop a philosophy. On these grounds, he and others on the faculty turned down the request to grant credit for an experimental course in Krishna consciousness that will be taught during the winter quarter by Hans Carey, president of the sect's Berkeley Temple, end quote. Prabhupada's letter to the Los Angeles Times, January 14, 1970. Editor, Los Angeles Times, Dear Sir, with reference to your article in the Los Angeles Times dated Sunday, January 11, 1970, under the heading, quote, Krishna chant, end quote, I beg to point out that the Hindu religion is perfectly based on the personal conception of God, or Vishnu. The impersonal conception of God is a side issue, or one of the three features of God. The absolute truth is ultimately the supreme personality of Godhead. The Paramatma conception is the localized aspect of his omnipresence, and the impersonal conception is the aspect of his greatness and eternity. But all these combined together make the complete whole. Dr. J.F. Stahl's statement that the Krishna cult is a combination of Christian and Hindu religion, as if something manufactured by concoction, is not correct. If Christian, Mohammedan, or Buddhist religions are personal, that is quite welcome, but the Krishna religion has been personal from a long, long time ago when Christian, Mohammedan, and Buddhist religions had not yet come into existence. According to the Vedic conception, religion is basically made by the personal God as his laws. Religion cannot be manufactured by man or anyone except God superior to man. Religion is the law of God only. Unfortunately, all the Swamis who came before me in this country stressed the impersonal aspect of God without sufficient knowledge of God's personal aspect. In the Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is said that only less intelligent persons consider that God is originally impersonal but assumes a form when he incarnates. The Krishna philosophy, however, is based on the authority of the Vedas, that is that originally the absolute truth is the supreme personality of Godhead. His plenary expansion is present in everyone's heart as is in his localized aspect, and the impersonal Brahman effulgence is the transcendental light and heat distributed everywhere. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that the aim of the Vedic way of searching out the absolute truth is to find the personal God. Anyone who is favored or one who is satisfied only with the other aspects of the absolute truth, namely the Paramatma feature or the Brahman feature, is to be considered possessed of a poor fund of knowledge. Recently, we have published our Sri Ishupanishad, a Vedic literature, and in this small booklet, we have thoroughly discussed this point. As far as the Hindu religion is concerned, there are millions of Krishna temples in India, and there is not a single Hindu who does not worship Krishna. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is not a concocted idea. We invite all scholars, philosophers, religionists, and members of the general public to understand this movement by critical study. And if one does so seriously, one will understand the sublime position of this great movement. The chanting process is also authorized. Professor Stahl's feeling of disgust in the matter of constant chanting of the holy name of Krishna is a definite proof of his lack of knowledge in this authorized movement of Krishna consciousness. Instead of turning down the request to give Carey's course credit, he and other learned professors of the University of California should patiently hear about the truth of this authorized movement so much needed at present in godless society. Parentheses, credit for the course was later established, end parentheses. This is the only movement which can save the confused younger generation. I shall invite all responsible guardians of this country to understand this transcendental movement and then give us all honest facilities to spread it for everyone's benefit. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, spiritual master of the Hare Krishna movement. The exchange between Srila Prabhupada and Dr. Stahl, January 23, 1970. Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta. Dear Swamiji, thank you very much for sending me a copy of your letter to the Los Angeles Times, also now published in the Daily Californian. I think you will agree with me that, apart from publicity, little is gained by discussing religious or philosophic issues through interviews and letters in the press, but allow me to make two brief observations. First, I know that devotion to Krishna is old, though definitely not as old as the Vedas, and has never been influenced by Christianity, Islam, or Judaism. I never referred to Buddhism in this connection. The differences between the personal and impersonal are relatively vague, but adopting this distinction for simplicity, I express surprise at seeing people who have grown up in a Western culture which stresses the personal to take to an Indian cult which does the same. I am less surprised when people who are dissatisfied with Western monotheism take to Indian philosophy which stresses an impersonal absolute. Second, I never expressed nor felt disgust at the chanting of the name of Krishna. I am not only not irritated at it, like some people, but I rather like it. But it is an indisputable fact that the Bhagavad Gita, not to mention the Vedas, does not require such constant chanting. The Gita deals with quite different subjects, which I treat at some length in my courses on the philosophies of India. Thanking you. Yours sincerely, J.F. Stahl, Professor of Philosophy and South Asian Languages. January 30th, 1970, J.F. Stahl, Professor of Philosophy and South Asian Languages, University of California, Berkeley, California. My dear Professor Stahl, I thank you very much for your kind letter dated January 23rd, 1970. In the last paragraph of your letter, you have mentioned that you are not irritated at the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra like some people, but rather like it. This has given me much satisfaction, and I am sending herewith a copy of our magazine, Back to Godhead, issue number 28, in which you will find how the students at a program at Ohio State University liked this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, although all of them were neophytes to this cult of chanting. Actually, this chanting is very pleasing to the heart and is the best means of infusing spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness into the hearts of people in general. This is the easiest process of spiritual realization and is recommended in the Vedas. In the Brihadaranyaka Purana, it is clearly stated that it is only chanting of the holy name of Hari, Krishna, that can save people from the problems of materialistic existence, and that there is no other alternative in this age of Kali. Western culture is monotheistic, but Westerners are being misled by impersonal Indian speculation. The young people of the West are frustrated because they are not diligently taught about monotheism. They are not satisfied with this process of teaching and understanding. The Krishna consciousness movement is a boon to them because they are being really trained to understand Western monotheism under the authoritative Vedic system. We do not simply theoretically discuss, rather we learn by the prescribed method of Vedic regulations.
But I am surprised to see that in the last paragraph of your letter, you say, quote, it is an indisputable fact that the Bhagavad Gita, not to mention the Vedas, does not require such constant chanting, end quote. I think you have missed the following verse in the Bhagavad Gita, apart from many other similar verses. Satatam kirtiyanto mam yantantas chadudavrata namashyantas chamam bhaktya nitya yukta apashate. Bhagavad Gita 9.14. The engagement of the great souls freed from delusion and perfect in their realization of God is described here. Satatam kirtiyantu mam. They are always satatam chanting kirtiyanta, my glories, and nitya yukta apasate, always worshiping me, Krishna. So I do not know how you can say, quote, indisputable, end quote. And if you want references from the Vedas, I can give you many. In the Vedas, the chief transcendental vibration, Omkar, is also Krishna. Pranav Omkar is the divine substance of the Vedas. Following the Vedas means chanting the Vedic mantras, and no Vedic mantra is complete without Omkar. In the Mandukya Upanishad, Omkar is stated to be the most auspicious sound representation of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed again in the Atharva Veda. Omkar is the sound representation of the Supreme Lord and is therefore the principal word in the Vedas. In this connection, the Supreme Lord Krishna says, Pranava Vasarva Vedeshu, quote, I am the syllable Om in all the Vedic mantras, end quote. Bhagavad Gita 7.8. Furthermore, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, verse 15, Krishna says, quote, I am seated in everyone's heart. By all the Vedas I am to be known. I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I know Veda as it is, end quote. The Supreme Lord, situated in everyone's heart, is described in both the Mundaka and Svetashvatara Upanishads. Dvasaparna Sayuja Shankaya. The Supreme Lord and the individual soul are sitting in the body like two friendly birds in a tree. One bird is eating the fruits of the tree or reactions of material activities, and the other bird, the supersoul, is witnessing. The goal of Vedantic study, therefore, is to know the Supreme Lord, Krishna. This point is stressed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 13, where it is stated that by the mystic yoga process, ultimately vibrating the sacred syllable Om, one attains to his supreme spiritual planet. In the Vedanta Sutras, which you have certainly read, the fourth chapter, Adi Karana 4, Sutra 22, states positively, Anavriti Sabdat, quote, by sound vibration one becomes liberated, end quote. By devotional service, by understanding well the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can go to his abode and never come back again to this material condition. How is it possible? The answer is simply by chanting his name constantly. This is accepted by the exemplary disciple Arjuna, who has perfectly learned the conclusion of spiritual science from the Yogeshwar, the master of mystic knowledge, Krishna. Recognizing Krishna to be the Supreme Brahman, Arjuna addressed to him, Stane Hrishikesh, quote, the world becomes joyful hearing your name, and thus do all become attached to you, end quote. Bhagavad Gita 11.36. The process of chanting is herein authorized as the direct means of contacting the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. Simply by chanting the holy name Krishna, the soul is attracted by the Supreme Person, Krishna, and to go back to Godhead, back home. In the Nada Pancharatra, it is stated that all the Vedic rituals, mantras, and understanding are compressed into the eight words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Similarly, in the Kali Santanara Upanishad, it is stated these 16 words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, are specially meant for counteracting the degrading and contaminating influence of this materialistic age of Kali. All these points are elaborately presented in my book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The process of chanting, therefore, is not only the sublime method for practical perfection of life, but the authorized Vedic principle inaugurated by the greatest Vedic scholar and devotee, Lord Chaitanya, whom we consider an incarnation of Krishna. We are simply following his authorized footsteps. The scope of the Krishna consciousness movement is universal. The process for regaining one's original spiritual status of eternal life, full of bliss and knowledge, is not abstract, dry theorizing. Spiritual life is not described in the Vedas as theoretical, dry, or impersonal. The Vedas aim at the inclusion, inculcation of pure,
love of God only, and this harmonious conclusion is practically realized by the Krishna consciousness movement or by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. As the goal of spiritual realization is only one, love of God, so the Vedas stand as a single comprehensive whole in the matter of transcendental understanding. Only the incomplete views of various parties apart from the bona fide Vedic lines of teaching give a rapturous appearance of the Bhagavad Gita to the Bhagavad Gita. The reconciliative factor adjusting all apparently diverse propositions of the Vedas is the essence of the Veda or Krishna consciousness, love of God. Thanking you once again, yours sincerely, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. February 8, 1970, Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta. Dear Swamiji, thank you very much for your kindness in sending me your long and interesting letter of January 30th, together with the last issue of Back to Godhead. So far, I have had a few discussions with members of your society here, but they were not entirely satisfactory from my point of view. But now I have your much more authoritative letter, whereby the discussions moves to a higher level. And yet, I am afraid you have not convinced me that all the scriptures you quote prescribe only chanting of the name of Krishna. Let me refer only to the most important ones. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.14, Kirtiyanta does not mean chanting of the name of Krishna. It may mean glorifying, chanting, reciting, talking, or referring to refer to songs, hymns, descriptions, or conversations. The commentators that take it that way. Shankara in his commentary merely repeats the word, but Anandagiri in his Vyaka classes kirtan as Vedanta Shravanam Pranav Japascha, quote, while listening to Vedanta and uttering Om, that the Vedic Om is Krishna is said in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is also identified with many other things, which is Smriti, but not in the Vedas, which are Shruti. Another commentator, Hanuman, in his Paishacha Bhasya, says that Kirtiyanta merely means Bhashmanama, quote, talking about, end quote. More important, I think, that the precise meaning of this word is that the entire verse does not require that everyone always engage in kirtan, but merely states that some great souls do so. This is obvious from the next verse, which states that Anye, quote, others, end quote, engage in gyan, vajena, Yajanto Mam, quote, worshipping me with the worship of knowledge, end quote. The Bhagavad Gita is a broad-minded and tolerant of variety of religious approaches, although it stresses one aspect above all others, i.e. Sarva Phala Tyaga. Finally, in the last sutra of the Vedanta Sutra, Anavritti Sabdat, Sabda refers to the scripture or to the revelation of the Vedas, as is clear from the context from the commentators. Shankara quotes a number of texts ending with iti adi sabdeyabhya, according to these shabdas, to support this, i.e. to support the statement that, quote, according to the scripture, there is no return, end quote. He also refers to the shabda in the sutra by saying mantarta vadadi, quote, mantras, descriptions, etc., end quote. Vachapati Mishra in the Brahmati supports this and classifies it further by adding that a contrary view is Shruti Smriti Viroda, quote, in conflict with the Smriti and the Shruti, end quote. Thanking you once again for your kind attention. Yours very sincerely, J.F. Stahl. February 15, 1970, J.F. Stahl, Professor of Philosophy in South Asian Languages. My dear Dr. Stahl, I am very glad to receive your letter dated Sunday, February 8, 1970. I am very much pleased also to note the contents. Regarding convincing you that all scriptures prescribe chanting of the name of Krishna, I can simply present the authority of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya recommended Kirtiyana Sada Hari, quote, Hari, Krishna, is constantly to be praised, Shikshastaka 3. Similarly, Madhvacharya quotes Vede Ramanye Chaiva Hari Sarvatra Gyate, quote, Hari is sung about everywhere in the Vedas and the Ramayana. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedescha Savar Ahameva Vedya, quote, by all the Vedas I am to be known. In this way, we find all the scriptures aiming at the Supreme Person. In the Rig Veda 1:22:20, the mantra is, Om Tad Vishnur Paramam Padam Sada Pasyante Surya.
The demigods are always looking to that supreme abode of Vishnu, end quote. The whole Vedic process, therefore, is to understand Lord Vishnu, and any scripture is directly or indirectly chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Regarding the Bhagavad Gita in verse 9:14, Kirtiyanta certainly means glorifying, chanting, reciting, and talking, as you have said, but glorifying, chanting, or reciting about whom? It is certainly Krishna. The word used in this connection is mam, quote, me, end quote. Therefore, we do not disagree when a person glorifies Krishna, as Shukadeva did in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is also kirtan. The highest among all Vedic literatures is the proper place for such glorification of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and this is to be well understood from the verse. Nirgama kalpa taror galitam phalam, shuktam mukhad amrita drava samyutam, pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam, muharur aho rasika bhuvi bhuvaka. Quote, O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. End quote. Srimad Bhagavatam 113. It is said that Maharaj Prickett attained salvation simply by hearing, and similarly Shukadeva Goswami attained salvation simply by chanting. In our devotional service, there are 9 methods for receiving the same goal, love of Godhead, and the first process is hearing. This hearing process is called Shruti. The next process is chanting. The chanting process is Smriti. We accept both Shruti and Smriti simultaneously. We consider Shruti the mother and Smriti the sister, but because a child hears from the mother and then again hears from the sister by description. Shruti and Smriti are 2 parallel lines. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore says, Shruti Smriti Paranadi Vajratra Vidimina Ahang Tiki Hari Bhakti Upatayava Kalpate. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12101. That is, without reference to Shruti, Smriti, Puranas, and Pancharatras, unadulterated devotional service is never achieved. Therefore, anyone who shows a devotional ecstasy without reference to the Shastras, Vedic scriptures, simply creates disturbances. On the other hand, if we simply stick to the Shrutis, then we become Vedavadarata, quote, engaged by in merely mouthing the words of the scriptures but not understanding or practicing them, end quote. We are not very much appreciated, who are not very much appreciated in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, although Smriti is the essence of all Vedic literature, Sarvopai Shansadogava, see the 4th of the Shankaracharya's meditations, it is just like a cow which is delivering the milk, or the essence of all the Vedas, and the Upanishads and all the Acharyas, including Shankaracharya, accept the Bhagavad Gita as such. Therefore, you cannot deny the authority of the Bhagavad Gita because it is Smriti. That view is Shruti Smriti Viroda, quote, in conflict with the Shruti and the Shruti, as you have correctly said. Regarding Anandagiri's quotation that kirtan means Vedanta Shravanam Pranav, Japas Sha, listening to the Vedanta and muttering Om, end quote, the owner of Vedanta is Krishna. He is the compiler of the Vedanta. He is Vedavit and Vedakrit, so where is there a greater opportunity for Vedanta Shravana than to hear it from Krishna? Regarding the next verse, in which it is mentioned that Jnana Yajnena Yajanto Mam, the object of worship is Krishna, as indicated by Mam, quote, me, end quote, the process is described in the Ishopanishad Mantra 11. Vidyam Chaivadyam Chayas Tad Vedo Bayam Saha, Avidyaya Mritum Tirtva, Vidyayam Mritam Ashnute. Quote, only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. End quote. The culture of vidya, or transcendental knowledge, is essential for the human being. Otherwise, the culture of avidya, or nescience, binds him to conditional existence on the material platform. Material existence means the pursuit or culture of sense gratification, and this kind of knowledge of sense gratification, avidya, means advancement of repeated birth and death. Those who are absorbed in such knowledge cannot learn any lesson from the laws of nature, and they do the same things over and
over repeatedly being enamored by the beauty of illusory things. Vidya, or factual knowledge, on the other hand, means to know thoroughly the process of nascent activities while at the same time culturing transcendental science and thereby undeviatingly following the path of liberation. Liberation is the enjoyment of the full blessings of immortality. This immortality is enjoyed in the eternal kingdom of God, Sambhuti Amritam Ashnute, the region of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is the result of obtained by worshipping the Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes, Sambhavat. So, in this way, real knowledge, vidya, means to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, that is, jnana yajnena, the worship of knowledge. This jnana yajnena, yajantomam, is the perfection of knowledge, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Bahunam janamanante janamamam parpadyate vasudevam savameti sa mahatma sadurlabha. Quote, after many births and deaths, he who is actually acknowledged surrenders unto me, Krishna, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. End quote. If one has not yet come to this conclusion of knowledge and simply indulges in dry speculation without Krishna, then his hard speculative labor is something like beating empty husks of grain. The unhulled rice and the empty husks of rice look very much the same. One who knows how to get the grain out of the unhulled rice is wise, but one who beats the empty husk thinking to get some result is simply wasting his labor uselessly. Similarly, one who studies the Vedas without finding the goal of the Vedas, Krishna, simply wastes his valuable time. So to cultivate knowledge for worshiping Krishna culminates after many births and deaths when one actually becomes wise. When one becomes wise in this way, he surrenders to Krishna, recognizing him at last to be the cause of all causes and all that is. That sort of great soul is very rare. Those who have surrendered to Krishna at life and soul are rare, Sudurlabha Mahatmas. They are not ordinary Mahatmas. By the grace of Lord Chaitanya, that highest perfectional status of life is being distributed very freely. The effort is also very encouraging. Otherwise, how are boys and girls without any background of Vedic culture quickly occupying the posts of rare Mahatmas simply by vibrating this transcendental sound, Hare Krishna? And simply on the basis of this chanting, the majority of them, those who are very sincere, are steady in devotional service and are not falling down from the four principles of material sinful life, namely 1, meat eating, 2, illicit sexual connection, 3, taking of intoxicants, including coffee, tea, and tobacco, and 4, gambling. And that is the last sutra of the Vedanta Sutra, i.e., anatta vritti sabdat, quote, by sound vibration, one becomes liberated, end quote. One has to learn by the result, palena parichyate. Our students are ordered to act like this and they are not falling down. They are remaining on the platform of pure spiritual life without hankering to culture the above principles of avidya or sense gratification is the test of their proper understanding of the Vedas. They do not come back to the material platform because they are relishing the nectarine fruit of love of God. Sarva phala tyaga, quote, renunciation of all the fruits of one's work, end quote, is explained in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself. In the words, sarvadharman parityajama mikam sharanam bhaja, quote, give up everything and simply surrender unto me, end quote. The Hare Krishna mantra means, quote, O Supreme Energy of Krishna and O Lord Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service, end quote. So we have given up everything and are simply engaged in the service of the Lord. What Krishna orders us to do is our only engagement. We have given up all resultant actions of karma, jnana, and yoga, and that is the stage of pure devotional service. Bhaktir Uttama. Yours sincerely, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. February 25, 1970, Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta, founder of Acharya International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Dear Swamiji, thank you very much for your very interesting letter of February 15, 1970, with enclosure. I'm afraid that whenever you quote a passage purporting you to show that only the chanting of the name Krishna is required, I can quote another one which requires something else, adding yadi shloko pi paramam ayam api shlokam paramam bhavitum aharati. Quote, if mere verses are authoritative, this verse is also ought to be regarded as authoritative. End quote. And there may be no end to this in the foreseeable future, as Patanjali also says, Mahan hi sabdasya prayogo vishaya. for vast is the domain for the use of words. Yours very sincerely, J.F. Stahl. 3764 Watsega Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90034, April 24th, 1970. Dear Dr. Stahl, I beg to thank you very much for your kind letter dated February 25th, 1970. I'm sorry that I could not reply to your letter earlier because I was a little busy in the matter of purchasing a new church estate and at the above address. We have secured a very nice place for a separate temple, lecture room, my quarters, and the devotees' residential quarters, all together in a nice place with all the modern amenities. I beg to request you to visit this place at your convenience, and if you kindly let me know the day, a day before, my students will be very glad to receive you properly. Regarding our correspondence, actually this quotation and counterquotation cannot solve the problem. In a court, both the learned lawyers quote from law books, but that is not the solution to the case. The determination of the case is the judgment of the presiding judge, so argument cannot bring us to a conclusion. The scriptural quotations are sometimes contradictory, and every philosopher has a different opinion, because without putting forward a different thesis, one cannot become a famous philosopher. It is therefore difficult to arrive at the right conclusion. The conclusion is, as above mentioned, to accept the judgment of authority. We follow the authority of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Krishna, and his version, according to the Vedic scripture, is in that this age, this chanting is the only solution for all problems of life, and that is actually being shown by practical experience. Recently, there was a big procession of our students in Berkeley on the Advent Day of Lord Chaitanya, and the public has remarked as follows, quote, "This crowd of men is not like others who assemble to break windows and create havoc," end quote. This is also confirmed by the police in the following words, quote, "Members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement cooperated fully with the police, and their efforts to maintain peaceful order throughout the parade were so successful that only minimal police involvement was required," end quote. Similarly, in Detroit, there was a big peace march, and our men were appreciated as, quote, angels, end quote, in the crowd. So this Krishna consciousness movement is actually needed at the present moment as the panacea for all kinds of problems in human society. Other quotations will not act very appreciably at this time. In a drugstore, there are many medicines, and all may be genuine, but what is required is that an experienced physician prescribe medicine for a particular patient. We cannot say in this case, quote, "This is also medicine and that is also medicine," end quote. No, the medicine which is effective for a particular person is the medicine for him. Phalena parichyate. Yours very sincerely, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. A final note by Srila Prabhupada. In a court of justice, two lawyers put forward their respective relevant arguments taken from authoritative law books to decide a point, but it is up to the judge to decide the case in favor of one of the litigants. When the opposing lawyers put forward their arguments, both of them are legal and bona fide, but the judgment is given as to which argument is acceptable to the particular case. Lord Chaitanya gives his judgment on the authority of Shastras that the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the only means to elevate one to the transcendental platform, and actually we can see it is effective. Each and every one of our students who has seriously taken to this process may be examined individually, and any impartial judge will find it easy to see that they have advanced in their transcendental realization further than any philosophers, religionists, yogis, karmis, etc. We have to accept everything favorable to the circumstances. Rejection of other methods in a particular circumstance does not mean that the rejected ones are not bona fide. For the time being, taking into consideration the time, age, and objects, the methods are sometimes rejected even though bona fide. We have to test everything by its practical result. By such a test, in this age, the constant chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra undoubtedly proves very effective. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami.